Please turn your Bible to Acts 23, and our text is from verses 10 to 13, but we will be looking, the key text will be in verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Before we look at our text proper, I would like to briefly mention chapter 22, which I mistakenly read, where we were given the account of Paul's defense of his gospel ministry to his fellow Jews and the Jewish leaders, telling them of his conversion and his commission into the gospel ministry. But sadly, as we know from the text, that again they rejected his testimony, they rejected his preaching of the gospel, and they shut him down. And then in chapter 23, the Apostle Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin council to testify. And of course, this is the Lord's leading, this is the Lord's direction, that he should go before princes and governors and kings to preach the gospel. And so he was brought before the Sanhedrin to testify. And in God's sovereign ruling or overruling, he was delivered from an evil plot to kill him, unknown to him, and was moved to Caesarea, into the custody of Felix, the governor. And so, before we go into our key text in verse 10, or rather in verse 11, we ought to take note that by this time now, the Apostle Paul was in his senior years. As I mentioned the last time, that he is right now approaching the last stage of his gospel ministry, and now he is in Rome, and of course, according to tradition, that he was finally, after his appearing before all the councils in Jerusalem, and he continued for a while preaching the gospel, and finally he was martyred, executed under another Roman emperor. And so by now, he was in his senior years, as we can deduce in verse 5. "Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest," because he rebuked the high priest. And this could likely be because of his poor eyesight, and not because of his being an apostle and despising or disrespectful to the authorities. For we see that in Paul's testimony, he no doubt, despite all this ungodly authorities, he showed respect to them. And in this final stage of his gospel ministry, and with the advancement in his age and the continued persecution and the death plot to kill him. From the unbelieving Jews and the unbelieving Gentiles, it could be very well the case that Paul right now perhaps felt the strain and the weariness in advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he could be discouraged, weary in spirit. And furthermore, we must also note that Paul is no superman. He was, like all of us, made of flesh and blood, and therefore liable to be cast down, liable to be despondent or discouraged. And we must remember that most of the time during his ministry, we can safely say that he is in constant stress, because he knows that the Jews is after him. And all these unbelieving Jews and Gentiles not only attack him, but he sees his fellow countrymen rejecting the gospel of life. And so that might have caused him to be downcast. And so the Lord Jesus see it fit to give his servant Paul an uplifting word of encouragement to cheer him, to strengthen him, to enable him to finish the race and to fight the good fight of faith faithfully to the very end. Brethren, I would like you to see here the covenant faithfulness of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, to his beloved servant Paul, and to each one of us who are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like you to see the fulfillment of God's covenant mercy and faithfulness. The words of the Lord through his prophet Isaiah stand so true in the testimony or in the life of the apostle Paul. And it will be also for us, those of us who are in Christ. For the Lord God says in Isaiah 46 verse 4, and if you like to, please mark it down. This will be of great comfort to you as you journey on as pilgrim in this sin-cursed world. Isaiah 46 verse 4, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs, means grey hair or white hair, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. Oh, what a comfort, isn't it? And what a joy, what an assurance for those of us who are believers in Christ. The Lord's promise, the Lord's assurance to us, even to your old age, I will carry and will deliver you. Our subject this morning is taken from the verse in verse 11, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The word of comfort and encouragement, not only for his servant, the apostle Paul, but also for all of God's people in this, as pilgrim in this weary land. First of all, my first heading is, be of good cheer, because the Lord Jesus himself is with his people. Or you can apply it personally, be of good cheer, because the Lord Jesus himself is with you. In this passage, we note before this comforting words, be of good cheer, we note that while Paul was in prison, the Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. If all else forsake Paul, Jesus was company enough. If all others despised him, hated him, the smile of Jesus was condescending enough. If the cause of the gospel seemed in danger, then in the presence of Jesus, victory was certain, for sure. The Lord Jesus, who had stood for Paul at the cross, now stood by him in the prison. The Lord who had called to him out of heaven, who had washed him in his blood, who had commissioned him to be his servant, who had sustained him in his life all this while, and in the gospel ministry, and in his moment of suffering and affliction. Now this God visited Paul in his solitary cell. It was a dungeon, but the Lord was there. It was dark, but the Lord's presence lit it up with his glory, the glory of his presence. Better to be in prison with the Lord Jesus than to be in heaven without him. I mentioned this before. Is there a difference between the word home and house? Is it the same thing? Well, we can say that in some sense it's the same thing, but in another sense, a home is when we say, where are you going? I'm going back home. You don't say, I'm going back to my house. Well, you do say that. But when we say, when we go back to our home, why home? Because loved ones and family members are there. You go back to the comfort of your home. Not because your house has plasma TV or what have you. Plasma TV is out of date right now. It's LED and what have you. And all that modern amenities. No, you go back because family members and loved ones. And so it is the same for the Christian. Why do you love to go to heaven? Because it is streets of gold, pearly gates? No. Because your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there. And you are returning there or going there to be with him forever and ever, and to enjoy the fellowship and to worship him. And so, better to be in a prison with the Lord than to be in heaven without him. The Lord stood by him. And this shall be said of each one who are united to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God, and to those who diligently seek after him. The Lord stood by me. Dear friends, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus, depend upon it. Jesus will not desert you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. If in the course of your endeavors you are brought into sadness and despair or depression, you shall then find it sweetly true, truly true, that the Lord stands by you, who are his blood-bought children. Our friends and loved ones, our whoever, even our spouses, may forsake us, and pastors and elders and deacons may fail us. But do not suspect. Do not suspect when all else disappoint you, fail you. Never suspect your Savior Jesus of treating you ungenerously, for he is faithful and true to the very end. All your former helpers may desert you. Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes may all set themselves to oppose you. But with the Lord Jesus at your right hand, you shall not be moved, brethren. Cheer up, therefore, despondent, discouraged brethren. The Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by the Apostle Paul. And the Lord will stand by you if you are truly his child. Next, comfort. And I come to my second heading. The comfort for the Apostle Paul and for us, the believer, is this. Be of good cheer, because the Lord Jesus has complete knowledge of his people's condition. The Lord Jesus Be of good cheer because the Lord Jesus has complete knowledge of your condition, of what you are going through or will be going through. The Lord has not lost sight of Paul because he was shut up in the prison. The words of Hagar in Genesis chapter 16 verse 13, when she was cast out by Abraham's wife, she says this, "Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me." Genesis 16 verse 13. This verse ought to be of great consolation to one who delights himself or herself in the Lord Jesus. Christian believers are often, and we acknowledge that, we don't deny that, we are not spared from that, we are shut up many a time in diverse prisons of affliction. We are afflicted indeed. Oh, one may be, some of us may be lying in the prison of pain by reason of sickness, by reason of physical and even mental infirmities. Others who are lying in the prison of pain through an accident, or perhaps one is shut up in prison because of poverty, or in the dark room of bereavement, or in the dungeon of mental depression. Christians are not spared from all this. We do, some of us, go through it. That's what the hymn goes. Some go through the fire, others through the water, but all of God's children go through the blood. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows in what ward His children and His servant is shut up, and He will not leave him to pine away, forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Brethren, be assured of that. The Lord Jesus stood by Paul despite doors and locks, and He need not, our Lord Jesus need not, the warden's permission to enter into the prison and to visit his servant. Nor did God need to stir boat or bar to be with his people. God was the companion of Daniel in the lion's den, if you remember. And he was likewise with Daniel's three friends in the fiery furnace. Is it not there in Scripture? For our encouragement, such account, such narrative of how the Lord stood by His people, His servant. The Lord Jesus can visit His chosen people when nobody else could be allowed to do so. How true, isn't it? Brethren, if we come into such a peculiar position or situation that no earthly friend knows of your experience, none have been tempted as we are, yet the Lord Jesus can enter into that your special trial, so to speak, or affliction, and sympathize in our peculiar grief that no other people can sympathize, let alone empathize. Jesus can stand by us, side by side with us. And He, why is He able to do so? Because He has been afflicted in all our afflictions during His earthly ministry. When the Son of God took on human flesh, He goes through all these painful human experiences, yet without sin. What a Savior Christians have in His Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is more, brethren, in circumstances which we do not quite understand, and often we are in such a situation, and we are prone to go into that state of mind to question, why? Why me? Why must I go through this? And we do not quite understand. But listen, our Lord Jesus knows. And in those situations that that is beyond our understanding or comprehension, he stands by us. For Paul was not aware, in Paul's case, he was not aware of the danger to which he was exposed, but yet the Lord knew. The Lord knew. The Lord knew that there is a plot to kill him. The Lord was his shield and his exceeding great reward. So, dear friends, the Lord knows all about your troubles before they come to you. He anticipated them by his tender, sovereign foresight. Before Satan can draw the bow, the preserver of man will put his beloved beyond the reach of the arrow. Let the blood-bought children of the Lord Jesus therefore sing with holy boldness. Let the Christian say with the psalmist, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 27, verse 5. And finally, my third heading, be of good cheer, because the Lord Jesus accepted the works of his people. You see, the work of the Apostle Paul in the ministry of the gospel, the Lord Jesus approved his work, and he gave him a third reason for encouragement or for courage. Be of good cheer, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Be of good cheer because the Lord Jesus accepted your work or your service to him and to his people when you minister to the needs of the saints. Sure, we dare not boast of our good works or the service we render to our Lord Jesus, for our poor works are all imperfect. And yet the Lord Jesus sometimes bless his servants' effort, isn't it? By pouring out to us, into our soul, to our heart, a sweet scent of having walked in integrity before him. And there are moments, isn't it true, for the Christian, that you have this sense of the closeness of the Lord Jesus with you. To Paul, the Lord says, thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus acknowledged Paul's brave and courageous testimony in spite of the opposition. Perhaps, dear brethren, you also shall be made to remember that you have borne witness of your Lord Jesus, and that your life and service for him has not been altogether in vain or useless. And sometimes we do feel that way, isn't it? When we serve the Lord in whatever ministry maybe, and we are discouraged by the response, yet the Lord honors your labor. He knows that you have put in your heart and soul in his service. Though your labor for the Lord Jesus may not be perfect, yet your loving Savior covers all your failures and my failures and commends you for what his grace has enabled you and me to do in the way of witness bearing. It must be sweet. Indeed, it must be sweet to hear Jesus says to you and to me, I know thy works, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Revelation 3:8. Therefore, brethren, be faithful to your Savior, the Lord Jesus, for in doing so, you are actually doing what? Be faithful to the Lord Jesus, and you are actually laying up for yourself a storehouse of cheering joyful memories for years to come as you reflect on the faithfulness and mercy of the Lord. The Lord stood by you. When you look back upon a well-spent life for Christ, you will not let to be boasting, but rather it will justly create in you a humble rejoicing in your heart for all that the Lord has done for you. Paul was able to rejoice that he had not run in vain, nor labored in vain, and happy are we, Christians, if we can do the same. Beloved brethren, it is not out of our reflection or recalling our past services, the work that we have done for the Lord Jesus, that the joy in our heart arises. But it is out of the witness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that we hear the Lord Jesus says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work of faith and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name. Hebrews 6:10. One final point, the fourth heading to my sermon. Be of good cheer, because the Lord Jesus has a prospect of future service for his people. God has a future prospect of service for you, brethren. And here we see the last part. Brethren, you are not done yet, just as Paul, because in the last part, Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You are not down yet, or done yet rather. You are not thrown aside as vessels in which the Lord Jesus cannot use you any longer for his holy service. And this is the chief point of comfort for us. The Lord's word to the Apostle Paul, be of good courage, for there is more for you to do. Not only for Paul, but for us. They cannot kill Paul at Jerusalem, for he must bear witness also at Rome. Therefore, brethren, brace yourself up, O weary, despondent Christian. For your day's work is not over yet, and your son cannot go downhill like Joshua. You have finished your conflict and fight the good fight of faith with the Amalek. The saying by George Whitefield is true. You are immortal till your work is done. Unquote. To the church in Thyatira, Jesus says, I know thy work, and the last to be more than the first. Likewise, the Apostle Paul encourages us in Galatians 6:8, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not faint, brethren. In another portion of Scripture, we are told, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we are able to run that race and finish the race because why? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you will be able to run it successfully for the Lord. I'd like to share with you, there's an account of this person by the name of Philip Melanchthon. Philip Melanchthon is a good friend, an associate of Martin Luther. And there is an account of him being very seriously ill to death, or near death. And so when Martin Luther came to know of his friend's dire condition, Martin Luther assured Melanchthon that the Reformation work needed him. And what he meant was, there's more work for you to do, brother. And therefore, you must recover. And so Luther devoutly prayed, and I quote from his prayer, we implore thee, O Lord our God, We cast all our burdens on thee and will cry till thou hearest us, pleading all the promises which can be found in the Holy Scriptures respecting thy hearing prayer, so that thou must indeed hear us to preserve at all future periods our entire confidence in thy own promises. Unquote. And after this, what happened? He took hold of Melanchthon's hand and said, "Be of good courage, Philip. You shall not die." And true enough, the Lord answered Martin Luther's prayer, and I suppose also Melanchthon's personal prayer for himself. And we know in church history that Melanchthon lived to put in record or writing Luther's theology in his first volume of Melanchthon's work. Luther prayed his friend back from the mouth of the grave and sent him on his way, comforted with the truthful prediction that he had yet to bear war testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel of Christ. And surely there is no restorative from sickness and no insurance for continued life like the confidence that our task is not done and our race is not ended. So then, weary and despondent and discouraged Christian, there is no use of us in lying down in despair and downcast. For a life of usefulness is still reserved for you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't give up. Like Elijah, ask no more to die, for God has further work for you. Like Daniel, neither the lion nor the bear, or rather like David, neither the lion nor the bear can kill him, because God has for him a work to do, to fight the giant and to cut off his head. Be like Daniel. Fear not the rage of the Babylonian drunken king, for God has preserved his life to outlive the hungry lions. Be of good courage. You who are in mistrustful spirit, you have only run with the footmen, as yet you shall, in the Spirit of God, contend with horses and prove more than a match for them. Wherefore, lift up your feeble hands that hang down. Brethren, a future awaits you. Christian believers, no power on earth or under the earth can rob of you this power. Therefore, be of good cheer, for the Lord stands by you. Friends, this assurance, be of good cheer, is given only to the Christian believers. If you are not a believer regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God or by the Spirit of God, I must inform you that you have no such assurance, or this assurance is not for your comfort and encouragement. However, if you now, in humility, in truthfulness, look to the Lord Jesus and in faith, cast yourself upon Him and cry out to Him, "Lord, save me," then this assurance can be yours immediately for your comfort and for your encouragement. So turn to the Lord Jesus now and be saved. And the last word for the believers, for the Christian believers, our Lord Jesus' closing word before His ascension into heaven is another great consolation beside all those that I have mentioned to you earlier on in the scriptures. This last closing word of Jesus is certainly a great consolation and comfort to those who delight himself or herself in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says to you, His beloved people, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, what a blessed assurance you have given to us. As you stood by the Apostle Paul and said to him, "Be of good cheer, so thou wilt stand with us, thy people, every moment of our pilgrim journey here, till the very end, as you have promised, you will be with us always, even unto the end of the world." So we praise and thank thee, and we plead, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will work this in our hearts and strengthen us and empower us by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that we may continue, and particularly in this new week that you have so graciously granted to us, that we may live our lives that glorifies thy holy name, and to enjoy thee, that we may testify of the Lord Jesus, of his covenant, faithfulness, and mercy, and that others may see in us the Lord Jesus in our lives, and glorify our Father in heaven. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.